This is episode 446, How to Give Yourself Unconditional Love with Nicole.
Welcome to Over It and On With It. I'm your host, Christine Hassler, and for over a decade, I've been a life coach, speaker, and author. Each week, you'll hear me work directly with a caller as I coach them through a goal they want to accomplish or an obstacle they may be facing. I'll provide a blend of practical and spiritual advice, as well as tangible actions you can apply to your own life. Now, let's get on with the episode.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. So the title of the show, How to Give Yourself Unconditional Love. I gotta say, I don't know that it's possible to give ourselves unconditional love 100% of the time, but it is possible to be loving to ourselves most of the time and catch ourselves when we're not. And to me, that is unconditional love, like loving ourselves no matter what, coming back to love, returning to love. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easier to love other people than it is ourselves. I look at my daughter and I'm just so patient and gentle with her. But when it comes to myself, man, I can be pretty impatient with myself, pretty mean to myself. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. So in this conversation with Nicole, we talk about how she can start giving the love that she so easily gives her child to herself. So as you're listening, keep these questions in mind. Did you feel unconditionally loved as a child? And if you didn't, are you sad and angry about it? Do you find it hard to give yourself the love that you so easily give others, especially a child or maybe a partner? Do you struggle with being kind to yourself? And finally, do you wish that you could have had the childhood that you see other children having or that you even see your own children having? So keep these questions in mind as you listen to my coaching call with Nicole. Before we dive in, I have a question for you. So this podcast is nearly 10 years old, and I've never done a live event for all of you, for my listeners, my women's retreat. That's really the only live event I've done. I did a coaching masterclass weekend a few years ago. Gosh, more than a few years ago. That was probably 6 years ago. And I really want to meet you and see you in person. So we are considering hosting a live event, either one day or two, here in Austin. I just want to get a pulse of how many of you are interested. So if you could go to christinehassler.com/live-event, answer a couple questions there, I would really appreciate it. And if we get enough feedback that you would love this kind of live event, and what it would be an experiential event. I take you through meditations, visualizations, probably do a little teaching. And then I do some hot seat coaching with people. There'd be small group interactions. I most likely would bring Stefan to do some really amazing breath work. There'd be movement. And what I love about the way I do live events as an extroverted introvert is I make them very introvert friendly. So I personally don't like to go to events where it's jumping up and down and live loud music and, you know, just like be social right away. That's a lot for me as an extroverted introvert. And as a, and by extroverted introvert, I mean, at my core, I'm introverted. I can do the social thing, but it's pretty draining on me. But moreover, I'm highly sensitive and empathic. So that kind of like intensity is really hard for me. So I make sure that the events that I do are very HSP, introvert, empath friendly. Now that doesn't mean if you're an extrovert, don't come, because Jill, who coordinates all of our events, is an extrovert. So we make them very friendly for extroverts as well. I just consider the people that don't really love live events and make your entry process really easy, something that I would basically want. So I just wanted to say that because some of you out there might be like, oh, live events. No, thank you. So anyway, if you're interested, no commitment, just go to christinehassler.com/live-event. All right. And now onto my coaching call with Nicole. Nicole, welcome to the show. How can I help?
Hi, Christine. Thank you so much for having me. Before we begin, I just want to say thank you so much. I'm just so grateful for you and this community. I actually found you when I became a mom for the first time.
Aww.
And you have accompanied me on so many different walks, and I really appreciate just your wisdom and your gentle way of coaching. It's made a big difference in my life, and I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
If I were to sum it up, I am really struggling to extend the love and acceptance I give to my autistic son to myself. Mm-hmm. So finding out my almost 5-year-old son's neurotype has deeply impacted me. It's really consumed the last 5 years of my life. And I truly believe that he chose me to be his mom, because embracing his uniqueness has sparked a long overdue journey of self-acceptance for me. And so far in this journey, it's taken me from teaching, a role I never imagined leaving, instructional coach, and soon I'll be returning to school for a master's in counseling. Mm-hmm. But I'm still really struggling with self-doubt, and I find myself struggling with sadness, because although I'm so happy that my son has the love and care that he gets from me and from my husband, I never got that. And so I feel like that's really affecting me.
Mm-hmm. How is it affecting you?
I feel sad a lot of the time. I feel really sad.
And what do you do with that sadness?
I feel like I've just been kind of moving along and getting swept up in the day. And a lot of it has just been collecting and building up. And it's been really difficult for me to even sit with it, because I think a lot of it stems from the love and care that I never got when I was younger.
Sure. So if you did sit with it, what would happen?
I think if I sat with it, I would probably be pretty angry at my parents for what I didn't get when I was younger.
So if I could be someone right now that could love and care for you, because I am, that is my role right now. What would you want most to do right now in the presence of someone who 100% is focused on loving and caring for you?
I think I need someone to tell me that I'm doing a good job. And that you have the love that I give so freely to others.
Well, I can tell you that. And that's not you scripting me. I can tell you that because I 100% believe it. So you're not just doing a good job, you're doing an amazing job. And that's evident to me by one, reaching out for support and being on this show. And two, what you said already about why your son has chose you and the insights that you already have. So that level of awareness and vulnerability and inquiry and willingness tells me you're doing a great job. And if I saw you in your day to day, I would probably be like, oh my gosh, it's phenomenal. So rest assured you are. And also speaking to the part of you that like is craving that love you give others, I just want to say, yes, absolutely, you're worthy of it. But I also just want to say you're actually getting it too. You're just not realizing it. More specifically, you're not letting it in. You know, you're paying more attention to the pain and the sadness and the grief of not having it as a child versus really, really feeling into, wow, I'm giving this to my son. My inner child, my little girl, is always here. She can have some too. So as long as you're, and there's such a valid place for your sadness, and it's really grief. And when we allow ourselves to actually just grieve what we didn't have and let it go, and then give it to ourselves, because what happens when we don't fully grieve it, and you probably heard me talk about this on the show, is that there's this part of us that's still hoping to get it from our parents or someone like our parents. when we haven't fully grieved something, there's still an anticipatory part of us. And as long as there's that anticipatory part of us, we can't let go. But once we actually grieve and be like, wow, I didn't get that and I'm never going to get that from my parents, and we grieve and we cry and we grieve about it, then we can go, okay, that's dead. That's over. It's not happening. And wow, I can experience it every day from myself now. Now, I know that's not the same. I know having parents give you something so precious and honestly, something that every child deserves and has a right to have, love, attention, safety, comfort, all those things. I really get that that would be more desirable than giving it to yourself. I get that. And that's not your experience in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know I'm not your parents. And I, you know, wasn't there when you were a little one. But what I'm giving you right now is love, attention, encouragement. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. So the other thing I want you to do is I want you to look for places in your life where that is happening and tell that little girl as it's happening, hey, little Nicole, look, see, it's happening. We are getting it.
Mm.
So I've been talking a lot. What's coming up for you?
I'm just thinking about, I'm wondering if there's always going to be this big missing piece that didn't come from my parents.
Well, what would having a missing piece mean? Like, what do you mean by that?
I think it has taken me a really long time to not be such a people pleaser and to not crave so much validation from other people because of that missing piece. Wondering in letting that in, if I'm always going to feel like something is missing.
Mm. Okay. So let's just be really honest.
Mm-hmm.
Not having parents that you feel loved and accepted by. Yeah. That's a missing piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's a missing piece. And the more attention you pay to that, the more you're going to feel it.
Yeah.
And that's just the really, really honest truth.
Yeah.
And you see it as a mother. Like, you can't imagine not giving your child what you're giving him. You know, neurodivergent or not, you would be doing this.
Yeah.
And so it makes it often when we become a parent and we had parents that really didn't love us and weren't there for us and in a really like healthy way, we're kind of like, what? I can't imagine not giving this to my child. So it almost makes it worse on some level. However, there's also the beautiful opportunity, like I said before, to mother parent ourselves along with our child. So the attachment to something's always going to be missing. What my sense is there's just some rage, not some, there's rage and grief that needs to be moved through. So that, because if you think about the grief process, there's all those things, you know, there's the disbelief. There's the rage, there's the negotiating, there's the sadness. So allowing yourself and supporting yourself and going through that process. But, you know, Nicole, one of the things that happens, and you know this, you're getting your degree in counseling, is, well, let me ask you this. What's the payoff to holding on to so much sadness around this? What's the payoff to holding on to this belief that I'm always going to have this missing piece and it's always going to hurt?
There's no payoff. It steals the joy of the present moment for sure.
Well, that's the cost. And I'm sure we could list a lot more costs. But if we're doing something and if we're believing something, there's always a payoff. There's always something we're getting from it.
Mm. It's a good question. I think it's some thread to them still.
Uh-huh.
the last thing holding me to them. It's still some kind of connection. It's like I'm validated it if that's true.
Very insightful. So fast forward to you're sitting in your counseling chair and you have a client that's come to you with this issue. And they just had this insight. What would you say?
I would say that thread is costing a lot and stealing a lot of joy. And I would explore different ways that they could share what they had with their parents and learn how to show up better for themselves.
Well, and it also sounds like there's a part that wants a thread.
Yeah.
So what threads do you have to your parents that are more, for lack of a better word, positive?
I think about my mom's love for the forest preserve and connecting with nature. That's a positive thing. And she instilled that in me and just joy for nature. And I've shared that with my son. I think dad, definitely music and how much it's meant to him. And there are songs that remind me of him.
So some beautiful positive connections that you can reinforce.
Yeah.
You know, and often what, you know, in my many, many years of doing this, a pattern that I see so many times is when we really didn't get the love that we wanted or needed from our parents, we will slip into the victim archetype pretty easily. Because it's a subconscious way we try to get love from ourselves or others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost want to have like a spiritual relationship with them. Like nothing that's actually happening here, but, you know, having positive thoughts about my mom when I'm at the forest preserve or when I hear a song that reminds me of my dad, knowing that I don't have a relationship with them. I think I want to nurture those parts of me too, of those kind, the invisible kind of relationship that just means something to me.
I love that. And notice how are you feeling different than you were at the beginning of this call?
Yeah.
After saying that, what do you notice?
I feel lighter, more hopeful.
Right. Because you just actually went into proactivity rather than this is this painful thing that I'm going to carry around for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I notice a story that comes up when I'm trying to accept love from people around me. And it's that, oh, they feel bad for me. I'm, you know, they shouldn't have to do this for me. They're just doing this to be nice. It's a lot as a child that comes up. Because as I'm sitting here thinking about embracing the love that I do have, and I have a lot of it in my life, that is a block to receiving that.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you notice it happening, what could you do?
Name it. Like,
yeah,
there's that story again.
Yeah. My keyword being story.
Yeah.
And what could I feel instead?
Yeah. Yeah.
And a good thing to, a good energy or emotion to intend and to start feeling at that point is gratitude.
Yeah.
Just a simple thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really reminding yourself, you know, another thing that I recommend people do when receiving love is all they want, but push it away because it feels so scary because they didn't get it a lot as a kid, is just to say internally, it's safe to let this in, you know, or do something like grab your wrist and say, it's safe to let this in. It's safe to let this in, you know, and let that be an anchor. And then anytime it's happening, if you can't internally or externally say it's safe to let love in, you can just grab your wrist and your mind and your body will know what that means. Like you can kind of program a mantra through an anchor in your body.
And then when
you're in the moment, when you do that, it just reminds all parts of you, okay, safe. And that's what I mean when I was asking before, what are all the ways in your life where you actually are receiving what you didn't get from your parents, mm-hmm. but because you're so set on it should have come from my parents, you're mm-hmm. not letting all the other love in.
Yeah.
So not only is it costing you joy, it's also costing you love.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. 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 It's time to grieve. You know, any emotions of rage or sadness that need to be expressed and released, great. But now it's really time to step into the integration and application.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the victim.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job, Mama, both for your boy and yourself.
Thank you so much. Mm.
Thank you so much, Nicole, for being such an incredible mama bear and for sharing so vulnerably here. So there's so much we talked about in this episode. I don't have too much to break down. I just want to say that, you know, this difficulty with or challenge with really loving ourselves the way we love other people is so pervasive. It's so pervasive. We have just an epidemic of people that don't feel enough in some way. And whether that was from childhood or maybe you had a great home, but a lot of your pain came from outside the home, socially or somewhere else. And it reinforced that very limiting belief. You know, love is our essence. It's just naturally who we all are. You see that with children. And we move out of love and more into fear and judgment. So to me, the practice we can do to be unconditionally loving to ourselves is just to keep trying, just to keep showing up. And when we notice that we're not being loving to ourselves, when we're in judgment, when we're in fear, when we're in criticism, when we're in shame, we see it and we bring ourselves back to love. That's why I love hand on heart, hand on belly. You press into your hand on your heart, and you say, I am loved. You press into your hand on your belly and you say, I am safe. All right, everybody, that's the show for today. Sending you so much love and many blessings. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Over It and On With It. I love hearing from you. So please post your comments or questions at christinehasler.com/podcast. That's also the place you can sign up to receive coaching from me in an upcoming episode. And if you love this show, please share it and subscribe in iTunes. You can find all my social media handles and sign up to be part of my community at christinehasler.com. Until next week, here's to getting over it and on with it. Much love and many blessings.